Okay, we're back. We're talking about the War of Federal Aggression, and I had thought of another name up for it, the War on Liberty, because many of the states, when they joined the Union, they reserved the right to withdraw. And the so-called Civil War, well, there was not much civil about it, but it was a war against, well, the War on Liberty, because when the North lost, the North lost as well as the South, because when the South lost their right to leave, their liberty and freedom to leave the Union, so did every Northern state lose its liberty and its freedom. And it wasn't, a lot of people in the South, they look at the North and they think that that's where the war came from. But the war didn't come from the North or the South. As a matter of fact, the war did not even come from the United States of America. The war came from a city state in itself. And that city state is called Washington, D.C., because it is not one of the 50 states. It is supposedly the seat of government. But as many of you are probably learning, that it is a separate city state unto itself, not part of the 50 states. And that's where the war came from. The federal government, seated in Washington, D.C., one of the, well, basically one of the three city states of the world. The other one being the Vatican, and the other one being the financial district in London. And some of you know what I'm talking about. These are the three central powers of the world, three city states within other states and unto themselves. And I believe that they all three are connected and part of the same government myself. That's what I'm learning. And if you want more information on that, go to firstamendmenttv.com and watch a few of the videos that are posted there. You might get a clue as to what in the world is really going on. And someday we'll jump into prophecy, in the book of Revelation, perhaps after I finish this study. But I've been talking about slavery, and a lot of people believe that slavery was abolished with the Civil War. But you know what? They had a problem after the Civil War, after they freed all the Southern slaves. Now they still had slaves, except they had slaves wandering around. And it took some of the slaves years to get back to their masters so that they could serve on their plantations and help their masters. I mean, a lot of these slaves and their master families, they were truly families that had a great love for one another. And of course, there was a lot of abuse too, but there's a lot of abuse today. I mean, in family government, what does the scripture say? It says the child, the heir, while he is a child, is no better than a servant. That's a position of servitude. Yes, our children are to serve us. Their status is that of a servant or a slave until they reach the age of accountability and go out on their own, according to the scripture. Because remember, we said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother." And until for that cause or a greater cause, which is a calling by our heavenly Father, a man is supposed to serve his mother and father. So his position remains the same. And that's why Paul said in the New Testament, one of the attributes of those that were disobedient, those that were outside that would not inherit the kingdom of God, was that they were men. He said, men, disobedient to parents. So after the war, they still had slaves wandering around. But now, who did the slaves belong to? They couldn't take care of themselves, so they passed legislations to make them wards of the state. That's right. The slaves now belong to the state. The government, the federal government, took ownership of the slaves. And now, here's the problem. When only the government owns slaves, see, our Heavenly Father knew what he was doing. He had a law for slaves. A man, if he bought a slave, the law said he could keep him for only 6 years, and then in the seventh year, he was to go out free. That's right. He was to go out free in the seventh year. That was the law of slaves. Now, and it also said, but if he doesn't want to go out free, if he loves his master, And he tells his master, I want to stay and serve you. This is my home. My family is here. I have no desire to go out from your household. I have no desire to go out from the land which the Heavenly Father has given you, the possession that you have. I want to stay here and serve you. And then the master was to take the slave to the doorpost of the house, drive an awl through his ear, and put a ring in his ear. And that was a sign, and then he would be his for life. That's right. And that was the position of many of the slaves. A lot of the slaves did not want to be free. Now, the ones that were treated roughly, yes, they wanted to be free. The ones that were rebellious, yes, they probably wanted to be free. But freedom wasn't all that they thought it would be. So anyway, a lot of people would differ on me, but the fact is we still have slaves in America. Just the form of slavery has changed. Now the government houses and feeds and clothes the slaves because they cannot take care of themselves. They need a massa. They need a master. They need someone to take care of them and house and feed and clothe them while they work on the plantation. And that's, you know, it's the new corporate America, and that's what they have. You know, if you work for a lot of these places, they pay you bare minimum wage, and then they pay taxes to the government to take care of everything else for you, to subsidize your housing, and to subsidize your health and your food and whatever. So the slaves are all around us. In other countries, they still have slaves and slave trade and so forth. So it goes on. There is no way you can legislate an end to it. You can legislate an end to a form of slavery. So you can take the slave off the plantation, but he's still a slave. And it's like the saying, you could take the slave out of Egypt, but you couldn't take Egypt out of the slave. And that's why that whole generation had to die in the wilderness. And we'll get to that. So anyway, Abraham was circumcised, Ishmael his son, all the men that were in his house, born in his house, and bought with money of the stranger were circumcised with him. And now we're jumping into chapter 18 of Genesis. You know, this is what I love about the Word of God. I get an opportunity to get into it for a couple hours every day, which leads into at least another hour of study, if not several hours of study every day. And that's why I love doing this program. And I know that that's why you're listening, so because you don't just want to hear me just read the Word. They have tapes for that. And I say that's a good idea. You know, I mean, if you're doing a lot of driving, get those King James Bible tapes and put them in the, you know, the tape player and listen to them. You know, get the Word of God. If you can't read it for yourself, or, you know, at least you can hear it. Or you can listen to this program and you can listen to me comment on it, because that's what I love about the Word of God. It touches on every area and every aspect of life. It truly has the answer for everything in life. There is nothing that has to do with this life, that pertains to this life, that you cannot find the answer to in the Word of God. You just have to know it well enough. So I like to go through it and comment on it and share with you the things I've learned from so many other good mentors and teachers and researchers in the Word. And I believe that's why you're here listening to me. So Genesis chapter 18 verse 1. And Yahuwah appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. So who sat in the door in the heat of the day? And I would guess that we're speaking of Abraham now. His name has changed. He is Abraham. And he's sitting in the door in the heat of the day in the door of his tent. He lifts up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And that was Yahuwah and three men that stood by him. He appeared. Now, I don't know how he appeared. He just appeared. He could have walked up from behind a tree or something. We don't get that kind of details, but we know that the mode of travel that he has access to is much better than an automobile. And I looked forward to traveling that way someday. But anyway, Yahuwah appeared, and Abraham looked up, and he saw three men by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. and he bowed himself down, he bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, Adonai. I'm looking at the Hebrew. It's easy to just mouse over. So Adonai is the Hebrew for Lord, my Lord. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. You know, there are some people that you just want to hang out with them. And when they come around, you want them to come in. You want them to stay for a while. You want to treat them well, and you want to entertain them. And so here's Abraham. He sees his Lord, his Adonai. And I believe that this is Yahushua pre-incarnate. And I also believe that if he would have looked at the hands of the pre-incarnate Yahushua, that he would have saw the nail scars in his hands and his feet. And he says, if I found favor in your sight, pass not away, pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore you are come to your servant. And they said, So, do as thou hast said. So Abram hastened, they're resting under the tree, and he hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quick 3 measures of fine meal, knead and make cakes upon the hearth. So he's going to make some flat cakes. He's not going to wait for it to rise or anything, but they're going to knead and going to roll out the cake and make some cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and he fetched a calf tender and good and gave unto a young man and hastened to dress it. So they're going to have a feast. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and set them before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard them in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the man or woman. So she had been into menopause already. That's what that means. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. Yeah, that's pretty funny, isn't it? You think about it. You know, she's 90 years old. Well stricken in age. And if you're 90 years old, you know what that means. That age does strike you. And little by little and incrementally, it does creep up on you. And no matter how hard you try, it's going to strike you. She was well stricken in age, 90 years old. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. She's way past menopause here. Therefore, Sarah laughed. She says, I am waxed old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? You know, any pleasure that they had in that way was apparently a memory. And the Lord said to Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? They heard her in the tent, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for Yahuwah? You know, think about it. Is there anything too hard for him? And all these people that don't believe in the virgin birth, they believe that so-called Christians, they say they believe that he created the heaven and the earth, perhaps through evolution, because they can't quite believe in 7 days, and they look at the stars and they believe the lie, you know, that man can measure how far they are away, and they may be hundreds of light years or billions of light years. There's no way we can know. We can only measure so far that I'm convinced of anyway, and I try to keep a pretty realistic head about me, and I don't give too much credence to the imaginations of men, because that's what a lot of it is. You have to believe in the imaginations of men and what they think they can do. But is it too hard if he created the universe? Is it too hard for him to create the stars and billions or hundreds of millions of light years of light at the same instant? So that the light is here, because we know it takes time for light to travel. But he, if he can create the star, he certainly can create, you know, the light. And then there's those that bring up the argument that, oh, that would be deceptive. How's that a deception for Yahuwah to create a star, a star and the light with it? That's not a deception. That's just what he did. He created Adam. He made Adam and Eve, a full-grown man and woman. You know, is that deceptive? Because, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we know that the chicken came first because we believe in his word. So, is anything too hard for Yahuwah? And he uses the name here, is anything too hard for him? And at the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but you did laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. He's seeing them off. And they looked toward Sodom. They've got a little more business to do. And Yahuwah said, so, you know, we have the Lord. He calls him Adonai. And now it says, and Yahuwah, the tetragrammaton, the name of the creator. So we know that this is the one and the same. He is walking, and there are three other men with him, and they're all appearing as men. So how else would Yahuwah appear as a man but pre-incarnate Christ at this time, complete with the nail scars in his hands and his feet? How else would he appear? And Yahuwah said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And he's talking to the ones with him, and who they are, I don't know. They're not identified who they are, but they appear as men, whoever they are. Could be, the same ones that appeared in when they appeared before Peter and the others. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahuwah. Yeah, they were of the way. And that term is used in the New Testament. And that's what they called themselves, those of the way. So they're keeping the way. They are the ecclesia. They are keeping the way of Yahuwah to do justice and judgment, that Yahuwah may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So Abraham's going to be obedient because he wants the promise. He wants that which was spoken of him. And Yahuwah said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, you know, he's feeling the same grief that he felt before the flood. And it's coming from Sodom and Gomorrah. Because the cry is great, and their sin is very grievous. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yahuwah. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do that after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So he's talking about this man, someone who's appearing as a man. The scripture calls him Yahuwah, the name of our creator. And he calls him Adonai, the Lord. And he calls him now the judge of all. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahuwah said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I've taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. So, I mean, he's humbly entreating the Lord. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Will you destroy? So if there's 45, will you destroy the city for the lack of 5? And he said, well, he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke unto him yet again. He said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure thou shalt be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure thou shalt be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not. You gotta love this guy, Abraham. And, you know, the mercy and the concern that he has for the life of the righteous, for the few that may be in the city, and the love that he has for mankind. I mean, what a tender heart. What a tender-hearted man he is. No wonder, you know, that you can see his heart, that he loves his neighbor, truly loves his neighbor as himself. He has a great love for people. And a heart even for the ungodly. And he says, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. He's going to preserve all of Sodom and Gomorrah if there is found 10 righteous people in it. And why is he doing this? Because of the prayer of one man. Because of the prayer of one righteous man who is outside the city. You know, and I live in a land today where the wickedness is just increasing exponentially, where the entire church has become a corpse. The corporation, they have followed their mother, the harlot, the mother of harlots, and all of her Protestant daughters have done the same thing. And have aligned themselves with the governments of men. And that's the condition of the land we live in today. And I know that there are thousands of righteous. But, you know, we have to look at this, that he could. And that we should pray, yes, that he will spare the nation for the sake of the righteous that are in it. Well, you're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going to pick up here next time, which is after the break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in 2 or 3 minutes.